This past week saw quite the contrast in international scenes. There was President Joe Biden in Ukraine walking through the streets with Ukrainian President Zelensky, as President Biden promised to continue to stand strong with Ukraine. Next day brought Russian President Putin to his stage, where what he said may have been red meat for those in denial of the facts, but how weakened did Putin reveal himself to be from the just over 1 year invasion of Ukraine? With us now to discuss this is an associate professor of communications and media studies at Fordham University, previously worked in Russia for 14 years with CBS News, including a role as their Moscow bureau chief, Professor Beth Noble. How are you today, Professor?
I'm a little sad, honestly, given this anniversary, but I'm happy to have the chance to speak about it with you.
Well, certainly this time last year, no one thought there would have been a one-year anniversary, would there have been?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think people, you know, a lot of people were in denial that Russian President Vladimir Putin would ever launch this war in the first place because it seemed so unnecessary and so senseless. And then once he did, you know, I think most of the world thought that the Russian army would roll over Ukraine in a matter of days. And certainly that's not been the case at all.
Give you a couple of websites, too. We do have them on our homepage for Professor Noble. It's Beth and Noble, KNOBEL.com. And learn more about the education opportunities at Fordham University, Fordham.edu. What were your expectations of Putin's speech going into it? Because certainly he couldn't be totally up front, even though in the audience there were veterans of the war in Ukraine on wheelchairs and crutches. So it's not exactly a state secret that there's, at best guess, well over 100,000 deaths so far of Russian troops during the invasion. But that being what it was, did you get what you expected out of Putin?
Well, I did. I mean, I've been covering Vladimir Putin since the late 90s. And so I sort of expected that his State of the Union address would be kind of Putin's greatest hit. 2023 version, and that's kind of what it was. Like, he just kept harping on all the themes that he's been harping on for the past year about how the West is evil, how Ukraine is made up of a bunch of Nazis. He used the term neo-Nazis to describe Ukraine more times than I could count. You know, his view of the West is very particular and not particularly rational in ways. He thinks that the West is out to get Russia, that the West doesn't respect Russia, that Ukraine has no volition of its own, that it's simply a Western puppet, and that, you know, that Russia is simply defending itself, and that he actually said that Russia did everything in its power to avoid a war. And so, you know now that when Vladimir Putin makes a speech that he's going to say a lot of things that are very questionable or just out-and-out lies.
It almost sounded, as you listened to it, that he might have started to think that he hired Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson to be his speechwriters.
Well, you know, our Republicans have their own view, but I think one thing that, you know, the Republicans in the U.S. and Putin share is that, you know, they are speaking to their supporters very much when they're speaking out, and that our country is deeply divided right now, and so is Russia. You know, let's not forget that even though there really are a lot of people who support this war and who support President Putin, there are a lot of Russians who are against this war and who have, you know, relatives in Ukraine or are of Ukrainian descent or just don't want to see an authoritarian Russia. And, you know, my heart sort of breaks not only for the people who are affected by this war, but for those of us who saw Russia come of age in the 1990s. And the 90s in Russia were very, very chaotic and crazy. But people were optimistic about Russia really being a great power, about them having democracy, about them having capitalism, of them being able to do things that they couldn't do in Soviet times, like travel and like start businesses freely and live a happier, more productive life. And Russia went into times where there was real democracy and there was real freedom. And unfortunately, Vladimir Putin has single-handedly, he's had enablers, but they have taken away so much of that from Russia. The freedom of speech, the freedom to travel. And for people who saw those times, whether they're Russians or they're people like me who had the good fortune to live in Russia during better times, it's just soul crushing.
If you look too at the stats, and these are probably lowball numbers considering they come from the Russia Federal State Statistics Service, first half of 2022, just over 400,000 people got out of Russia, which is really the only safe way probably to do any kind of protesting off of Russian turf. But by contrast, first half of the year before in 2021, just over 200,000 people left the country. I'm sure once those second half of 2022 numbers come about, we'll probably see even a much larger number than that 419,000. So, but when we see people in Russia, and it's almost entirely they're supporting the war. I mean, you had for the rare public example that one woman in the newsroom, I believe she was a news editor, held up an anti-war sign during a telecast. And you'll get the occasional brave Russian who's not afraid to say what they feel about the invasion of Ukraine. But do you believe that there's a larger voice against Putin and they just haven't figured out how to coalesce yet?
There are definitely millions of Russians who are against Putin. I speak to friends in Russia all the time, and you know, most of my friends are really morose about what's going on and heartbroken about the war and heartbroken about the freedom that they knew 20 years ago being gone today. So, I think we have to be very careful about thinking of Russia as a monolith. It's not, but one of the first things that Vladimir Putin did when he became Russian leader in 2020 was to both attack and start to bring the press under more government control. And he also changed the way that Russians elected their leaders. And so in the 90s, there was real opposition to the government, and there were opposition parties in their parliament. And Putin got rid of all of that. I mean, there are now some parties that are kind of aligned with Putin, but the real opposition parties, the real Western-facing Democrats, were all driven out of the government because he didn't want real opposition. And he made it impossible by raising the bar for the number of votes that parties had to get to have seats in the parliament. He just tweaked the system to make sure that there wouldn't be an opposition. And the Russian opposition has not done a good job of coming together and coalescing since. So it's really bigger than people think. There's just no real leader. And even when someone comes along who tries to lead, like Alexei Navalny, he tried to get into elective office and was kept out. And then because he became more powerful in speaking out against the regime, he was thrown into prison, and no one knows if he will ever get out of prison.
Talking with Professor Beth Noble, who is an associate professor of communication and media studies at Fordham University. Previous life, she was working in Russia for 14 years with CBS News, including serving as their Moscow bureau chief. BethNoble.com, Fordham.edu. We have the website links at our homepage as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Putin claims and has been called a great historian by a great number of people. In fact, I came across, this was a while ago, this long piece that he presumably wrote. I think it's still on his official presidential website, that the gist of it was that Ukraine is Russia. And I've talked to Russian experts, and he basically twisted history into one knot to get to that point. Seems to be that he has forgotten another piece of Russian history, though. Scrolled Afghanistan. It seems like this could very well be Putin's Afghanistan, what we're seeing right now in Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, Chris. There is, a lot of Putin's reading of history is very questionable. If you ask Ukrainian people, they'll say that, he spouts a lot of nonsense about Ukraine's right to exist. There's not a lot of reason to think that this war is going to be settled militarily anytime soon. The West has armed Ukraine and is continuing to arm Ukraine. Just today, the U.S. announced another $2 billion worth of military equipment and aid going to Ukraine. making it about $30 billion for us. And then there are all the Western countries and NATO allies who have been kicking in. So the West is pretty holding fast right now to arming Ukraine. Russia is running into more and more problems keeping its troops supplied, but they're doing the best they can to keep the equipment coming. And this could go on for months or even years and turn into a stalemate. Whether it's, you know, we had our own stalemate in Vietnam. We know that this is not a good place to be. And, you know, I think Putin has not shown any signs so far of being willing to negotiate a peace. And so the question is, how long will it go on before his own people will start to turn on him and demand something? I mean, already, you know, it's very hard to tell what the losses are. I've seen 200,000 as the number of dead and wounded. I have no way to know if that's right. But the Russians lost something like 58,000 men in about 10 years of fighting in Afghanistan. And they may have lost that in the first year of fighting in Ukraine. We don't really know. But it's the level of this. This is a terrible, terrible war for Russia. They are losing their young men. People have fled the country rather than serve in a spurious war. And at some point, it's going to go on to the point where, just like Vietnam, I mean, we pulled out of Vietnam because the protests inside the United States was so bad, and it was so clear that it was a stalemate that would never end. The question is that going to happen in Russia? And unfortunately, we just don't know, because people don't have the freedom to go out onto the streets as many of them would like to do and protest this war.
Although with all the power that Putin at least believes he has, anywhere between 100,000 and 200,000 so far sets of grieving parents, that could be something that could extinguish that power sooner versus later. As Beth says, to be determined. Want to learn more about the education opportunities at Fordham University? It's fordham.edu, Beth's website, Beth Noble, KNOBEL.com. She is an associate professor of communications and media studies at Fordham University. Previous career in Russia, 14 years with CBS News, including as their Moscow Bureau Chief. Professor Beth Noble, thank you so much for your insight into all this, for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.